Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone. And once again, thanks for taking the time to tune into another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir with my beautiful and talented co-host, psychic medium, Sherry. We are live. This is not a pre-recorded show. We are actually broadcasting live on 4/17 of 22. And I believe this is show number 398. Sherry, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, doing good. I just am getting the going back to work on Monday dread. You know, that feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Seriously, how long had you had off?
Oh, just a couple days, but you know, it's just now granted I have the best working situation I've ever had. Technically I'm part-time. I work 2 miles from home, but I'm to that point in my life where I don't want to work anymore. Ever. Again. I want to retire, but that's not in my future currently.
Well, I know a lot of people are retiring. I have a few friends that are actually retiring early, like in their 60s. So it's kind of nice not waiting till they're 65, 60, you know, early 60s or late 50s. So, yeah, it's kind of nice to be able to retire if you can.
Yeah, I'm guessing if circumstances go my way, I should probably be able to retire maybe 5 years.
Nice.
But we'll see. I mean, I'm in the best position that I've ever been in. And we were talking before we went live. I managed to completely repair my credit, you know, so things are going well on this end, but not a lot going on. Just been staying busy as much as I can at work, trying to learn a new language, which, you know, my work is, I have a little, when I get to work, I work in, as if anybody listens to this, I work in pathology, and I have my own space, which is a gross room. We've talked about it before. That's where, like, surgery takes all your tumors and legs and stuff, and then I deal with it. But I have downtime. I'm busy when I get there, and then I have a rush in the afternoon. But during those, between those times, if I don't have any procedures, because I have to go to procedures, I just sit and surf the internet and try and learn a language. So it's a pretty sweet gig, honestly.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, so I'm glad you're doing pretty good, Jason. Yeah, thanks. I'm feeling blessed myself, really. I'm, you know, very, very consistent. I'm back on tour again. This is the first weekend, as you probably see, last 3 weekends I've been gone, and I'm gone for the next 2 weekends. So, you know, work has been very a blessing to me, and life is good. I started back into bodybuilding. One of these days we'll have, she's a bodybuilding pro. She's been a pro since 2008. She's literally in bodybuilding division, very muscle bound. Isabel Terrell, we think we'll have her one of these days, one of these months, have her as a guest. But she was looking at me, and I was, you know, it was last year after, you know, it took a whole year's hiatus. And so she was looking at my bodybuilding pictures, and she says, yeah, definitely bigger. And I was going to go into bikini. And she said, no, your build is muscular. You're tiny, but you're muscular. And so that's true. I'm built very muscular, my arms, my legs, everything. So she said, definitely figure. Go into figure, and you can cross into bikini. So started that, and I'm doing good. I'm doing very hard, pushing it, but also, you know, being balanced about it. Nutrition, keeping my diet in check, and working out, doing splits and things. So I'm good.
I'm built like the Michelin Man.
Are you really?
Know?
The Michelin Man is very, very square. Are you muscular? Well, you're build. You're tall, but you're not solid. You're muscular. If you really worked at it, you can become very. And we're not talking about muscular powerlifting, but we're looking at, you know, more defined because. Your body can, I just see that you could, if you really have the discipline and consistency, that you become a physique competitor.
Well, you know, putting on some muscle or definition would probably go good with my giant hands and giant feet, so I don't look like a freak. But yes, you know, in my younger years, I actually had quite the bod in my 20s. Yeah, there was actually a time where I... you know, was maybe 165 pounds. I'm a little over 6'2", but now take that at 100 pounds to that, and that's my current weight. I'm a big guy.
I know you are. So, you know, you could. Losing weight is really, it's all about the mind. I mean, if anybody wants to listen to this and go into this rant and everything, and people don't know, I used to be a competitive runner for 23 years before I went into bodybuilding 3 years ago. And, you know, before my injury, I took a year off and getting back into it. But, yeah, it's all about the weight is just a symptom. It's about the mind, you know, and feeding positive things and knowing that you're gonna lose it no matter what, having a right diet, moving around. Even if you can't move your lower legs or anything, you get these guys that are, you know, in Arnold or the Olympia or, you know, NPC, CB, those federations. You know, it's all about the mind and training, discipline and training. So, you know, you may have some problems, but we work around it.
I just read an article a couple of days ago that running is terrible for the heart. I wish I could remember and cite sources, but that's what I read.
It's, you know, it's just horrible. Oh, it's so misleading. Gosh, I used to be a running coach for, you know, either half marathon, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons or marathons. And I've had a few marathons under my belt, you know, literally 26.2, but running is not bad for your knees or your heart. You're, as an athlete, and I can tell you this because I've been an athlete for a long time. As an athlete, your heart is already enlarged because you pump a lot of oxygen and your and cardio and everything. So it's naturally enlarged. To not have it and to be a natural athlete and not having your heart enlarged is unusual. You know, look at Jim Fix. Look at Alberto Salazar. You know, you talk about these professional runners that have been, you know, Olympic runners and things, and they had heart attacks. Well, what had happened is that their hearts are just overpumped. You just don't pay attention to what's going on in your body. It's not about running. It's how much you run, how hard you run, and how far you run. That's what I tell people. If you're going to go and start doing your walking program or running program, it's about balance. You don't go and overdo it. So, it's not about running. It's about how much, how hard, how fast, you know, how often, your diet. Also, you know, weather, stress. I mean, it's just like Chinese medicine. There's so many different factors and why you don't heal. So, to be honest with you, I think that's what I feel as a, you know, as an ex-coach or an ex-runner myself, that I can look at it and tell you that it's not running, it's how much and how hard and everything else and all of the other factors, like I mentioned before. So it's all about being practical and being in balance. What do you say, Jason? Huh?
Well, everything in moderation. Apparently, marathon running increases your risk of sudden cardiac death in the short term, but in the long term, it's beneficial. I don't know. I don't trust anything the medical community says about anything. It's funny when the medical community says something like, this is good for you, like drinking. You know, they used to say for years and years, you know, you can drink up to moderate alcohol and it's heart healthy. And then the other day an article comes out and it says, well, we've just discovered that drinking any amount of alcohol is bad for the heart. Nobody knows what they're talking about. Who knows? But what I think is that your heart has only so many beats, so why waste them on running? If you want to live longer, take a nap. Bam. There it is.
Just take a nap. Oh, nice. Well, you know, as you sleep or nap, you're building muscle. You're repairing. You're healing your muscle. So, you know, you're laying down, you're healing. That's how you grow your muscle.
Speaking of heart, mine has been beating irregularly a lot lately, and it's so annoying. Just want
to
stick a knife in a socket. Yeah, it's super nice. It's not a new problem.
No, it could be stress. It could be hereditary. It depends. If I scanned you, I'm not going to scan you now, but if I scanned you, I'd probably know why. But
probably be like, oh, my God.
You
probably tell me I'm in the late stages of heart failure, and I'm probably
on
borrowed time. hey, I had an echocardiogram. I had an echocardiogram a year ago. It was fine.
Yeah, you're probably under a lot of stress, probably.
Yeah, because I don't want to work. That's stressful. We're all slaves.
Oh,
that's what kills
gosh.
Me. We're just slaves. Not everybody 9 to 5, but, you know, 9 to 5. We just work for pennies on the dollar. Meanwhile, the people at the top of the corporate pyramid are the ones that get all the benefits and massive pay, and all the worker bees, such as myself, just get the scraps, get taken advantage of, and slave to this work is getting old.
Oh, to the system. Oh. Well, they say, you know, on Telegram, I don't know. You're on Telegram, aren't you? I am. I get a lot of my good sources through that. Yeah. I read it a little bit here and there, but yeah, you can hear. We're supposed to be supposedly coming into a third war coming up.
Well, I hope everybody's extra food and a place to go. And this is interesting because I thought about this the other day. I was thinking, well, you know, if nuclear war breaks out, what's the best way to survive? And it's not like, you know, by the time you get the notice, it's not like you could just pack your car and go because all the roads are going to be gridlocked. So you almost have to try and save your life in situ because, you know, if you live anywhere near a city, you're not going to be able to get anywhere. And I've been thinking about this lately, so I've slowly, every time I go to the grocery store, I kind of have a stash of food, just buying, a few jars here, some ramen there, and I'm trying to stock up my stash because if something goes down, I don't want to, you know, if there's a food shortage or war or whatever, I don't want to be ill-prepared, at least be able to eat my ramen, mac and cheese, or whatever I have. But I was thinking, well, where could I go that would offer at least some more protection than my current residence? And I thought, well, I work in a hospital. That might be, you know, those are thick walls. I have my own space on the interior, so I'd like, it's close. So I thought, that's where I'll go. If they start lobbing missiles at us, that would probably be my best bet.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard of Gerald Celente. He's a journalist, and he looks at trends. He's a top trends researcher on the planet. Gerald Celente is a publisher of the Trends Journal. I've been following him for years and years. He's awesome. And he was on Greg Hunter. He's on Rumble, actually, and he's talking about we're entering a World War III that's coming up. So be prepared. You know, be prepared for food if you can. Buy food. Stock up on food. Get ivermectin if you can, which I take personally, but get ivermectin if you can. If you can have it filled out, especially if you've been vaxxed, and Vaxxer and Vax, get ivermectin, hydrochloroquine, take your vitamins. Like I said many, many times on air, keep your immune system up. Vitamin C, your zinc with quercetin and your NAC, things like that. So,
hopefully it doesn't happen. But World War III doesn't necessarily mean nuclear war. It could be that we go into a world war and all sides decide not to use nukes because it's mutually assured destruction. Either way, it's going to be terrible. So let's just hope that doesn't happen, but things happen in cycles and history repeats itself. So maybe this conflict in Ukraine is the catalyst for a global conflict. But let's hope not.
Stock up on food. We're coming in for a food shortage, and with China having a so-called lockdown and everything, things are not going to be moving there that very much. And so if you can, just stock up on food and see what you can do. That's all you can do. Hunker down. Don't move if you can. If you can't move, just kind of hunker down and just be prepared.
I kind of like the idea of living in a irradiated wasteland. It would be like living in a video game.
Wow.
But that's just me.
Huh. Interesting.
I have a Geiger counter. I'm ready. I got ramen. I got top ramen and a Geiger counter. So I'm ready for whatever happens.
Yes, I don't know. Just do what you can. Take care of your family, kids. Just take care of the people you love. So, have you heard of Brighton? Brighton? Brighton is like Rumble and BitChute and all these other alternative channel, but you get them on Telegram. Anyway, so Brighton comes up with a shocking list of venom-derived pharmaceuticals swallowed by millions of Americans. Many and more around the world are swallowing pharmaceuticals made from venom peptides that come from pit vipers, rattlesnakes, toxic cone snails, leeches, Gila mountain lizards, and more. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of stuff comes from venom. In fact, I just read the article on the cone snail. Years ago, I went to the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. John specifically, and I didn't know that those dang little cute shelled snails in the ocean can kill you relatively quickly. They have these cone snails have a harpoon and they inject venom, and it's a really toxic neurotoxin, and if you get stung by a little tiny cone snail, you're pretty much screwed. You're probably going to die, almost certainly going to die.
Really?
I had no idea that when I was there, because I was snorkeling, and if I saw a cone snail, I probably would have picked it up. But yeah, don't pick up snails in the tropics, because it can kill you. And if you don't know, like I was lucky, I didn't see any, but it's pretty scary. The venom out there is ridiculous, especially with the sea life. I mean, you have sea snakes they don't have big fangs or anything, so it's hard to penetrate the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the most potent toxins, venoms out there in the marine life, blue-ringed octopus, box jellyfish, all these are just really nasty.
I can imagine.
And they use those different various therapies, and so it's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, they have this worm. I don't know where it came out of, Georgia, and they're looking at, don't touch this worm or something like that. I don't know what it was. It's frightening. It had two heads. At the end of it, I forgot what it was. They said not to, if you're going to handle it, don't cut them up, because if you cut them up in pieces, what they do is they grow back. So what you have to do is put it, salt and vinegar in a jar, put it in a jar for 3 days, and you'll kill them finally.
And this is in Georgia?
Yeah, that's some kind of worm. I forgot the name of it. I read it on a news article in Telegram. Oh, shoot, I forgot. It's right on the tip of my tongue, too.
Well, I just found it right here. The
what
invasive,
it
it's the, I'm assuming this is the, oh, I see what you're doing. Oh, that thing looks disgusting. The invasive hammerhead or flatworm is starting to rear its odd-shaped head in the metro Atlanta. Now that the weather's turning warmer, more people are getting out into the garden. Many people have posted warnings not to touch the worms because the belief that the worms carry a certain toxin, tetrodotoxin, sometimes abbreviated as TTX, is a very nasty compound, something that's found in pufferfish. And yeah, that's bad. He said you would need to ingest the worm for any poison to likely enter your body. And nasty side. No, I had no idea. I'm familiar with tetrodotoxin. I had no idea that that is actually in a worm because I knew it was in the pufferfish. And, some people sometimes in Japan, the pufferfish is kind of, it's a delicacy, and people train for years and years, if not decades, on how to prepare pufferfish. But people that are ill aren't really good at preparing it. There have been lots of cases where people have died because they didn't prepare it properly. Apparently, there's a certain way to prepare it to where you're getting a little bit of the toxin so that your lips kind of go numb, but it's not putting you over the edge to kill you, and that's tetrodotoxin. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, yeah, that's a scary worm. It looks like a giant alien. It looks like a hammerhead.
It looks weird, doesn't it?
Imagine
a black and white
worm, black segment, white segment, black segment, with a reddish head in the shape of a hammerhead. That's disgusting.
That's crazy, huh? Yeah. So are you getting, did you get your booster?
Yeah, right. Not a chance.
Yeah, I told you.
Not a chance.
No, don't do it. And, hey, it's your body. You can do whatever you want. But, Dr. Jane Ruby, she's awesome, too. I love her. She's dynamite. She's a nurse practitioner, but she's not vaxxed. And I read about her stuff. Her stuff is, she's right. She's like me. She gets to the point and she doesn't mess around. But this morning she wrote a thing on her coffee talk, and it says, a father of someone I know recently found 5 polyps removed from the esophagus and now suspect he has stomach cancer. Triple jabbed, I believe, disabling body defense and attack mechanism. Not a good idea. People are sick and dying all around us. Not hard to identify the cause if willing to recognize the dots and to connect them. Vague, age, very sad. Thanks to you all, Dr. Jane. Yeah, they call that the third one is a death shot. And that's what they say. You know, your 2 is bad, but the third one, you're done, kind of thing. I don't know. But, if you can, try not to. You're done.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned polyps because I can say something about this because I work in pathology. And the vast majority of specimens I get are esophageal or colon biopsies, polyps, masses, tumors, and the impression I get is pretty much going for an upper endoscopy or a colonoscopy, they're going to find polyps. To me, it's just like it would be more unusual not to find these precancerous polyps, particularly if you're older. But I have noticed that I don't know. I haven't been working in pathology enough over the course of years to really be able to say for sure, but I just see a lot of cancer cases. Breast cancer, prostate cancer, lots of prostate stuff going on. It's crazy. It's just like it came out of the blue. And it may be the fact that people just weren't going to the doctor because of COVID and they needed to get their prostate done. But lots of prostates. Prostate chips. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but transurethral way. They stick something in your wee hole and they blend up your prostate from inside. It's weird. And then they suck out all the pieces. And so there's tons of that. And, but it just seems like there's, you know, all these, a lot more malignant neoplasms going on out there. I can't say it's attributed to anything. It could just be that a lot of people have avoided going to the doctor and having diagnostic procedures. And that's why it's just been so busy. But I don't know. It's just a lot going on.
And that's what they're saying. There might be an uptick. That, well, these guys are, you know, the ones that are in Telegram. They're just saying that there's a big uptick in that kind of thing. You know, you have your vaccinations. There just seems to be a more of a, I don't know if it's coincidence or thing, but they seem to think that they're becoming a little bit more prominent than they have in the past before the COVID.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense that there would be. It would be more unusual if there wasn't an uptick, just based on the fact that a lot of people weren't going to the doctors, and now you have a lot of people going to the doctors. So, of course, you're going to start to see more things like that. I know a lot of people weren't going to the doctor because I've worked in healthcare since before the pandemic, and things legit slowed down. They slowed down to the point I had to take a leave of absence. And now it's super busy. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot more of everything, you know. So I can't say for certain that it was tied to shots or not. I have no idea.
Right.
I'm trying to be
very
objective
difficult
about it and logical about it. You know, I would love to blame it on vaccines, but I can't because it's just a trend that I would expect to see after, you know, people not going to the doctor.
Right. And, you know, the fourth shot's coming up, too. So you have the fourth, which is what, that's the second booster? They're going to be having it every year.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a personal decision. If you think that helps, will the shot stop you from getting COVID? No. Will the shot stop you from being seriously ill? No. Will the shot stop you from dying? No. That's a choice. There was a news story out, I believe it was from India a short time ago. Somebody got 25 boosters. He just kept going back and going back, and, you know, which I thought was interesting. So he would be an interesting case study to see what happens when you just get tons of these booster shots.
Wow. And then what happened? Did they find anything in his blood or anything? Because, I mean...
No, not that I heard. It was just he got in trouble for doing it, for repeatedly getting boosters, but there was no mention of any ill effect. But you never know how you... Yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you, since you're working pathology, can you find out, like, since you've been back, can you find out what vials? Because there's three different vials. There's three different type of vaccines. One may be a placebo, the other one may be mild, and the other one may be pretty heavy duty. So can you find by the lot number what you have gotten, what vaccine you have gotten, whether it's from Pfizer, Moderna, or whatever, Johnson & Johnson, or the other ones?
Well, you should know once
you
get the vaccine, because it'll be written on the card. In terms of tracking the lot number to see, I don't know that it was ever proven that there were placebos out there. The information we do know is that comparing Moderna to Pfizer, Moderna, you're actually getting a much more substantial dose by volume, something to the tune of something like four times the amount of fluid is going into you. But they also say that Moderna is slightly more effective than Pfizer. That's why I did not. That's specifically why I did not get Moderna, was because by volume it was more going into your body. And the people that I know that had Moderna seemed to have more negative reactions associated with. So I spoke to a doctor I work with, and he got Pfizer. I was like, cool. If I got to get it, I got to get it. So I'll go with the Pfizer.
Yeah, do the left, huh? Lesser of two evils.
Yeah, well, all those companies except, Moderna hasn't been around enough to be notorious, but all the Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, you know, issues in the past. Not necessarily about vaccines, just with other things. But all you can do is make the best educated guess. If you feel that it is something that is going to help you, then by all means, do it. I was forced to. I didn't have much of a choice. So otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten it.
Yeah, it's because of your job and everything. You don't have that right. I mean, you don't have that option, unfortunately. You know, whether you can do it, but the federal workers can. You know, my guy, that he's a postal employee. He's been a postal employee for 30 years, and he took the vax because of his mother, his 80-something-year-old mother, but he would have not taken the vax. But he had the choice whether he can be vaxxed or not because he's a postal employee.
It's hard to know what the long term is going to be. It could be that these vaccines are fantastic and saving millions of lives, or it could be the opposite. We're not going to know. You know, you have to pose that question 20 years down the line and see what if it's caused any long term effects. But I have problems. My heart doesn't seem to beat regularly, and I'm fat. But the one thing I've always had that was really good was a good immune system. So I wasn't too concerned about it.
How do you feel your immune system now? Is it shitty or what? If you don't mind me asking,
system's awesome. I'm hardly ever sick. Even as a kid, I never had chicken pox. I mean, I just, cool. You know, I've never had the flu that I'm aware of. I very rarely get, I don't even remember. I think the last time I legit got sick was 7 years ago. But I was like legit sick. I mean, fever of 103, but that was it. So, I mean, I don't get these annual colds or the flu or anything like that, or at least if I get it, it doesn't register on my, you know, it's not making me physically ill or anything like that. So I've always trusted my immune system to keep me safe from things, and hopefully I still have an immune system after, you know, the aforementioned shot. But I didn't have a reaction to the shot. Some people do.
Yeah, you got to be careful. It's all about a balance. It really is.
All you can do is advocate for your own health. Try to make smart and meaningful decisions. Treat people the way you want to be treated, and just live in the moment. Live day to day.
Try and get it.
Because we live in crazy times.
That's crazy. Yeah, so, but yeah, I like to listen to that kind of stuff and, you know, kind of look at my own take of everything. It's all about balance, looking at both sides and then evaluating if is that true or is it, you know, making sense or, yeah, so I like to seek the truth myself. So, hey, I was on, Clive Lewis's producer. Oh, gosh. Producer, radio, I don't know. I was on radio last Monday. Gosh, the days are melding. And, yeah, I was on radio live, and we talked about Chinese medicine. So it was an hour interview between Bill Youngblood and Wes Scotto. Stay there.
Oh, sorry, I hit the mute button. Yeah,
oh,
no, that's
okay.
Cool.
Yeah, so Monday, we talked about Chinese medicine, talked about my exorcism experience, which was very interesting, and I'll be airing out, I think Tuesday, it'll be aired out on my website, it's the one-hour show.
I should go on there and talk about my alien experiences, see if they'd be interested in hearing that.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Well, we had Ron Patton before, you know. I saw him at the Ghost Conference, and, yeah, he's doing really well. I saw him and Clyde. I hung out with those guys for a little bit. There was a little bit of a slow streak on Sunday and kind of hung out with the guys a little bit. And Ross Allison wants to come back. He's on Travel Channel, Travel Station, and he says, hey, when can I come back on your show? And I said, well, let me see. I'm on tour more often than not now. I'll get you fit in. So we can have some of his people call in, and Chad Goodwin and all these other guys. It'd be great. That'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as usual, when we don't have guests, we just talk about whatever. Wherever the conversation goes, it's kind of like listening to a random phone call, which hopefully is enjoyable to some, but yeah, that's how we roll.
Oh boy. And Jeff Davis wants to come on our show. So he's been on, he's a writer, and he's been on Ghost Adventures for 3 times in the last couple of years about the haunted history in Washington. So we got to have him on. He's wanting to come on. He said, hey, you know, I haven't been on. I said, yeah, just things have changed a little bit. And he said, yeah, let me know if you want to come on. So I said, I'll let you know. So we'll get him scheduled too.
Very nice. Well, you always do the most amazing job getting guests and high-profile guests and all that good stuff.
We're pretty well established. We've been at it for a long time, and now that you know, we got everybody knows us in that industry, the paranormal industry, you know, with Andrea Perone and all these other people. They know who we are. And you rub shoulders with the right people and you meet them. That's why I do the shows, because we all have booths. We all have booths. They're doing their conferences. I do, you know, we call that gallery readings, audience readings. So Jeff Davis just gave me a nice testimonial for his readings. So. Yeah, that's good. Good people. Very, very good people. As a matter of fact, I was really happy to be at the Ghost Conference. It was good to see different people that we missed in the last 2.5 years. So that's good.
Very good. Well, I was thinking
are you there?
I don't know what my obsession is with hitting a mute button.
Okay. I said, are you there?
It's like,
oh, gee.
There are higher powers that are subconsciously make me bump into my headset. Very strange. They don't want me to talk about what I'm about to talk about, if you want to hear a couple of the most cursed places in the world.
Okay. Would love to hear that.
I'll mention a few. And I don't have – some of these don't have a lot of information, but at least you'll know the location. So if you're ever on a road trip or traveling the world, you might want to stay away from them. One of them is Roanoke Island, North Carolina. In 1587, a group of Englishmen led by Captain John White settled there. While he went back to England for supplies, he left his family behind. And upon return, he found the fort in ruins and no trace of his family or any other colonists. Carved on the tree was the word Crotone. They claim the island is haunted, but apparently it's cursed. So stay away from that. I'm sure you've heard of Timbuktu. It's in northern Mali.
Yes.
In 2012, extremists attacked Timbuktu, desecrating the graves of saints and doing the unthinkable by blowing up a door in the city, you know, my pronunciation's crap, Yahya Mosque, legend said, opening the door, well, it was a 600-year-old door, and opening it would signify the end of the world. Since then, locals point chaos all around. Timbuktu used to be a mecca that allowed outsiders in only 100 years ago. Some people believe that location was doomed from the start, and they also claim that it has lived under a curse for 100 years. It was also once rumored that the streets were paved with gold. Wouldn't that be nice? If you had streets paved with gold, I'd be out there with a pick every day. getting rich because I like money.
Wow. Money makes you comfortable, but it's not everything. You know, if you don't, you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have love, what do you do? Oh, that's how I feel anyway.
Yeah, well, I like money because it allows me to afford Uber Eats and do all the things that I enjoy. I don't know. How do you even pronounce this word? H-O-E-R, Hoer, Verde, Brazil, in 1923, during a time of political unrest, over 600 villagers disappeared. The only thing left, according to the story, was a single gun that had been fired, and found near it was a note that when it was translated read, "There's no salvation." How do 600 people disappear? Is that like a giant UFO just comes and beams people up, and some guy whipped out a gun and took a shot at the UFO? Who knows?
Who knows? Wow.
That's relatively modern times, 1923, and 600 people go missing. That's really odd.
How did they find out it was that many people? Is that just a number that they came up with, or how did they know it was 600 people? That's my question.
Unfortunately, that's all it says, and you have to take these with a grain of salt because a lot of times things are inaccurate. Maybe it was six, you know. Maybe it didn't happen. People like to make shit up all the time. It's hard to know. But that is an awful lot of people that just randomly disappear. It's odd. If that's true, who knows?
If that's true. Yeah, how did they find out it was 600? Could have been 100, or is that true or false? Yeah, you have to question that.
There's a place called Stoll, Kansas. There's a story that a witch was buried in the Stoll Cemetery, but she was no ordinary witch. She had had an affair with the devil. The devil was so enamored. Apparently, the devil was so enamored with her that he would come to court her. Who knows whatever happened to her, but in Stoll, Kansas, there were mysterious hangings, burnings, and other creepy things that could be attributed to this witch who was getting it on with the devil himself, which I don't buy for a nanosecond.
Wow. I do believe in curses. You know, they can't happen. But, people are trouble. You don't want to mess with the wrong person, that's for sure.
Now I'll give you one more. This one is actually true. I'm very familiar with this. Centralia, Pennsylvania. It's a very, very interesting place. There's like a town there. I believe it was at one point it was rather sizable. But since it was built over these coal mines and now only has a population of 7 people, the rest of the population, I don't know what the original population was, but it was probably thousands. The rest of the people were driven out by a subterranean coal mine fire that has been burning steady since 1962. Of course, the government wanted to get out of Dodge, but they said they're going to stay there until they die. And when those people die, their houses will be taken over by the government through eminent domain laws. And it's super cool. If you look at pictures of Centralia, Pennsylvania, there's cracks with smoke coming up. And because there's this massive fire that's burning down there for 60 years. It's just fascinating. It's like something out of a horror movie.
That's horrible.
Why that's on the cursed list, I don't know. Maybe just because the entire town, or virtually the entire town, was driven off. But it's craziness. And that's my cursed for you.
So would you go into places like that?
Oh, that I would. That would be super interesting. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you've had your share of your investigation. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I try and stay out of haunted houses, but, you know, places like that, you know, the suicide force in Japan would be interesting. I would go to some of those places.
Just looking at the place, you know me, I'm an empath anyway, but it used to be for 2 years, people don't know, I was 2 years a paranormal consultant, so I would work with two teams remotely, and just looking at the suicide forest is just a really creepy, eerie feeling anyway, just by looking at it and seeing, not even tapping into the dead spirits that are wandering or why and this and that. So, yeah, that's, I don't know if I want to go into places like that.
So in case people aren't aware, and I'm not an expert, I just know a little bit about everything. The Suicide Forest, I believe, is at the base of Mount Fuji. It's a place not unlike many places here in the U.S. where you go hiking. And I don't know if camping is technically allowed, but you go hiking out there. And for some reason, for as long as whatever, people like to go out there and commit suicide, usually by hanging. And so when you pull up into the parking lot, you know, there's signs there, don't kill yourself. It's actually people that go in there trying to talk people out of killing themselves because it's such a prevalent problem there. But you pretty much know there's a body somewhere when you pull in the parking lot and there's a van that's been there for weeks, you know. But people go hiking and they don't want you to get off the trail. But if you go off the trail, and there's some videos on YouTube where people find bodies, it's not even uncommon, which is really odd. Not uncommon at all to find a body or the remnants of a campsite where somebody was camping prior to killing themselves. So, you know, if ghosts are real, I'm still unsure about that, but if they're real, that place has to be haunted. And I agree with you. When I see pictures of it, I'm like, it's got a vibe to it. And they do say it is terribly haunted. But I would stay overnight there. I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
Would you
right?
really? Hey, it's yeah. just like Hawaii, yeah. Iowa Valley. They say about the Asian and the Hawaiian say, you don't want to be caught in the King Kamehameha battlefield because you're not going to come out of it alive. You know, and it's, that was another eerie place too. You know, when I was at the ghost tour, and that's just, there's a vibration that is not a good. I've seen actually orbs. I've been very fortunate in my lifetime to be able to, you know, see orbs with the abilities I have, and they're very interesting. They're shooting stars, there's orbs, there are all kinds of weird things that are there in the valley there. Yeah, I think that every place is haunted. It's just a matter of how much it is. It's just a matter of whether you're aware of it or not. I grew up knowing that with my parents. My parents were not religious in any way, shape, or form, but they were both spiritual. And especially my mom, she was a psychic in her own right. And I think that, you know, having that bleed over in her beliefs and my own birthright of having psychic abilities is being able to see and feel is a good thing, but it also is a curse because when I do see that, it's not unpleasant. It's not very pleasant. So, but all you can do is try and help people as much as you can. That's all you can do. But there's always remnants. The suicide is, you know, it just really, it's not a good thing. Very negative, depressed, sullen.
Yeah, and this whole pandemic has made it worse. And,
suicide's gone up. Suicide kids too. They have to be on medication. They've become very distant. They, you know, kids are always texting. They don't know how to do a phone call. They can't talk to you. Come over and talk to you. I'm kind of old fashioned anyway, so. But, you know, nowadays kids they rather text you instead of saying, hey, you know, if you can apologize. Apologize in a phone call or go look at them in the face and apologize and say, hey, I'm sorry. It's so evasive. It's just different.
The world is in a sad state of affairs. Now, did I tell you what happened at my house a couple weeks ago? I don't know. Was it 2-3 weeks ago? I don't know if we had a show.
Nope.
I didn't tell you about
we haven't had...
what happened. So
mm-hmm.
this is
Go
weird.
Ahead.
This is not paranormal, but it's equally as freaking bizarre. So a backstory. Before I got into the medical field, I spent, I don't even know how many years, 18, 15, whatever years, in retail loss prevention, catching shoplifters. Did many years. I was also a PI doing surveillance and stuff like that. So I caught Lord knows how many shoplifters out of the year. Now you fast forward to current day. I got my first catching shoplifter job in 1992, way back. So because of my current residence, I live in a gated community. But the problem with this gated community is that there's a train, a public transportation train, and the end of the line is very close to this community. And the other problem is that very close to this community is the bottle drop where people redeem their bottles. So there's a lot of traffic, shady traffic, and they sometimes hop the fence and are in our community. And it's a very nice community. It's not low, it's like luxury townhouses, right? So I, knowing this, and like many of the residents here, installed surveillance cameras. So I got a surveillance camera bug, and I install them, motion-activated surveillance cameras in my place, looking out the back door. I got one outside my garage so I can see the front door of my place, and never really captured anything too interesting. However, the other day maybe it was 2 weeks ago, there was activity at my front door at 10 o'clock at night, and but I didn't know this at the time because I go to bed early because I'm old, but the following morning, there was a bag by my front door, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. So I'm going through the bag. I grabbed some gloves, and it's like brand new jeans with the tag still on, stuff that had been shoplifted. There's like a bag of like gummy worms, and there's some change, and there's a zip drive, and just a bunch of random stuff. But clearly it was shoplifted. There's an old pair of pants in there that smelled like somebody hadn't washed their pants in 15 years. And I'm like, well, it's by my front door. Guess what? I have motion-activated cameras. So let's see how this bag showed up at my front door. So sure enough, the camera captured this guy. He walks up, and he's kind of looking around. He kind of looks at my front door, and he's kind of just standing there. It looks like he pulls out his phone or something. And then he just sets it by my front door and then just walks off. It was just weird. We're talking good merch. I mean, brand new jeans with the tags. Oh, yeah, there were pulled off sensor tags in the bag that had been yanked off the merchandise. And I'm like, that is so strange. I spent so many years catching shoplifters, and some shoplifter just dumps his merchandise by my front door. Of all places to do that, it makes zero sense whatsoever. He wasn't pressured. It wasn't like he was being chased or followed. It wasn't like he was just like totally chill. And so and it had stayed out there overnight, and he didn't come back.
Oh, man.
I'm like, well, what do we do? Like, so I just called the cops and like, dude, some crackhead left a bag of stolen merchandise by my front door. Can you come and get it? And sure enough, cop came out, didn't want to see the video. That he flat out said they don't have time for stuff. And I was like, cool, let's just take the bag. So he just grabbed the bag and took off. But it was just the weirdest thing. I mean, if it was like a bag of trash or something, I get it. But why my door? And why? It just makes no sense.
Yeah, It was just random. I don't think there's anything more to it. I know. Don't put any more stuff into it than what it is. Just happen.
If you're going to shoplift,
go ahead.
If you're going to go through the trouble of shoplifting, why dump your merchandise unless you're being chased? But that was clearly not the case. This guy was dawdling.
I think that the first thing I'm getting is the person is mentally unstable in the first place. So he probably, and or a memory problem, you know, there's some issues going on, you know, with mental stability. So just happened to be your place.
Yeah, so
unfortunately.
Very odd. This is the odd,
yeah,
odd world that we live in. But anyways, we're running out of time. So we got anything else we want to talk about for the last couple of minutes? Because I'm jonesing for some dinner, homemade tacos. Oh yeah.
Ooh, sounds good. Sounds good. Well, no, that's pretty much about it. I'll be on tour for the next 2 weeks, so probably see you in 3 weeks unless anything changes. But I'm anybody wants to get a hold of me on Psychic Medium Sherry on Facebook. It's Sherry, Psychic Medium Sherry, or you can get a hold of me on www.mediumsherry at Sherry.com. Go ahead and go under the contact form. You can get a hold of me. I do psychic readings, Chinese medicine, and mediumship. So my basis of everything I do is in Chinese medicine. I'm a medical medium and a traditional Chinese medicine medical Qigong practitioner. So I deal with primarily a lot of chronic cases, but my specialty is in sports medicine. I love sports medicine. Starting in oncology for 3 years, then I went into sports medicine in the last 8 years. Love it. So anyway, get a hold of me, and I wish everybody be safe. Just keep your immune system up, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
And you can get a hold of me at www.jasonofearisasexygod.com. I just completely made that up. Don't try to put that into Google. Time for dinner. Hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. We'll see everybody when we're back. 3 weeks? Something
see
like
everybody.
That.
Take care. Peace. Love and peace, guys. Take care.
Good night, everyone.